Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. And today's episode, I think is going to be both encouraging and maybe a little heavy, but it sets us up for a really good episode that we have coming next. So before we get to that, hey, friend, it's really good to hear your voice.
I know. It's been a while. Not even like sometimes throughout the week, we'll send each other like actual voice messages or videos or something like that where we end up talking. But I don't think we have at all. It's just been like written text communication. So, hi.
At least there is communication. So there's that.
Yes, there is communication.
Every day.
We know that each other are alive, yes. And that's what we get right now.
Right now, it's a season.
Let's see what we jump into. I want to jump into like the actual episode already, but I know we got to catch up. You started to ask me questions, and you were like, "Wait, no, save it for the podcast.
Save it.
Press record."
Hold on, please, because I don't know these, like the questions I'm going to ask you, I don't know the answer to them. I'm like, you don't have to tell me twice. So
yeah,
this week is your birthday week.
It's my birthday.
And I do know that you are going to take a little trip with your husband. So tell me about it.
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to go away. And so we decided to just go about three and a half hours northeast of here to Amish country. So we just went on to like Airbnb or Vrbo and got a place up there just to spend a couple days. It's nothing too long. I took a couple days off of work and we're just going to go up there and relax. And I don't know. I know there's like shopping to do and who knows what we'll get into, but I hear there's really great food. I have a friend who is giving me a whole list of places that I need to go and eat at. Told her, I said, we're there for 2.5 days. So it can't be anything too expensive.
The best part is that you don't have a plan though.
No, not at all.
You're just going and you're like,
we're just
gonna
go
whatever we want to do.
Yeah. So we're really excited. We're, like I said, it's only 3 hours away, so we'll probably head out like noon or something. I'm actually going tomorrow morning, hopefully, to the Social Security office since I already have the day off, and finally changing my last name officially because I haven't done that yet. Because that requires taking time off of work. And
it does.
That's why I was like, oh, I already have the day off. Like I already took the day off to go. Let me do that in the morning. So,
yeah.
Hopefully that goes smoothly. We'll see. And then begins the whole rest of the process of like changing my license and bank accounts and all that kind of fun stuff.
Adulting.
Yeah. But how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Last week we took a trip to the lake, just me and my husband. And because like every trip that we go on, it's a working trip. Like I sightsee and I'm usually always by myself because he's always working. And so he just needed a couple days to just decompress. And so we went to the lake. We went for 3 or 4 days. And then the first 2 days he got like really, really sunburned. And so like we didn't take our computers, like we were not working. And so that Wednesday, he's like, I can't get in the sun, but we already have the hotel. And I know I sent you like a picture. I was like, I don't think I've even had 100 steps today. Like the only steps I have taken was from my bed to the bathroom and back. Like we DoorDashed food. I mean, when I mean like, and then around like 2 o'clock, I'm like getting antsy because like The Office is on like repeat on like a comedy channel. And so I'm watching like entire seasons of The Office all day. I'm like reading and I'm like getting really antsy. I'm like, I should be doing something. Like I should be doing something. What am I doing just laying here? But it was much needed. We came back and I'm having to, you know, really get a lot of writing done for some deadlines that I have. And so that was nice. And then tomorrow I'm also going to Louisiana by myself. John Eric is going to stay with the kiddos and I'm going to just go hang out with my grandpa for a while. I know there's some things that he wants me to help him with, and my granny's tombstone is there. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to go, and it's going to be a heavy few days, I think. And so, and I didn't know I was going last week. And so looking mm-hmm. back on it, like I really needed that Wednesday to just kind of take a beat, as I tell my kids, and not have anything to do. So yeah, I don't really have any updates on life other than that. That's my update.
Yeah. I was trying to think what I've like the last couple weeks have entailed. And I think it's just been, Matt was in a wedding this last weekend, which unintentionally kind of turned into a high school reunion of a bunch of people, which was both weird and really good, just to be able to reconnect with all the people I hadn't seen in close to 20 years. It was an old high school friend of Matt's, but we all went to the same high school. There were 15 of us in the graduating class. So of course I knew him as well. And
I had three. So,
hey, three. Even more than that.
I was valedictorian.
And salutatorian.
Yay.
So that this whole weekend was just with that and meeting up with people that, again, we haven't seen in 20 years. And so catching up on 20 years of life of where they are. And it was a lot of fun. So, that was kind of our big thing this past weekend. But how's your Bible reading plan going?
You know, I also did not take my Bible on my trip. And so I got behind. I think I'm only 2 days behind now because I'm doubling up every day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in Isaiah. We've been in all the prophets lately, you know?
Yeah.
We'll jump back to Kings every now and then or Chronicles. But we are deep in the prophets right now. And it strikes me so differently every time. And different the viewpoints and like the way the warnings, and then like the Isaiah specifically, like he's heartbroken for the people, you know? Mm-hmm. And like what a weight that was to be kind of like God's mouthpiece mm-hmm. at that time. And so, yeah, it's going. I will be caught up. I'm taking my Bible with me on my trip this time. So trip. I will not be behind.
Yeah.
How's yours?
It's going really well. I was noticing, like I thought about it briefly, did not say anything to you about it. I was like, oh, we should post something on our social medias for like the 200th day. Like we've done 200 days or something like fun like that. Clearly we did not do that. I'm the worst at social media. The only reason I think I created the social media, but I do not manage them at all.
You do.
I don't and even by manage my own.
By manage, we post a picture
every other week.
I do. That is one thing I want to get better about, though, because
you guys are looking for super engaging social media posts. Our social media is not there.
I will do better.
That was not shaming at all for you, because I'm so thankful that you do it.
No.
If it were up to me, it would. When's the last time I posted something on my social media?
Like your wedding, maybe? And then before that, like, I don't know. Your engagement.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
So I will actually be a little more active on it, because this kind of sets us up unintentionally. Good job. This is not a two-part series, but it kind of is. So our episode today is really just the state of theology and the state of the church. And then we have an interview coming up next week that we're going to do that will be our next episode. And with that interview, there will be book giveaways.
Yes.
So, and I'm like so pumped for this interview. I think I say that before, and then I'm like, I don't know another word to say. I'm even more excited than those interviews. But I really am.
The bar just keeps going higher and higher.
Yes, I'm really excited for that. And so we'll have book giveaways for that. And so then I will be more active because that's how they're going to win.
Yeah, so that's true.
Have to stay tuned for that. And also, I think almost all of our episodes in August are guest episodes.
I know. I was actually just telling Matt that is that we, like, I think all of our August episodes are going to be interviews and into probably some of September as well.
Yeah. It's a good way to kick off fall.
That'll be fun. And yeah, a good way, like, yeah, to kick off fall.
Yeah. Well, let's get started with this one today. I have very mixed feelings about this.
Me too.
Part of me is it is really heavy and sad. And then part of me is like, man, we have work to do, church, and it's encouraging, you know?
And I will say this for this, what we're about to go into. This is truly, I know a lot of times we say, oh, these are like conversations between us and, you know, things like that. This one truly is going to be a conversation. One, because Shanna and I have not discussed any of this beforehand. But it just the way it lends itself is it's going to be a lot more. It's not going to be our normal style of episode, but I think it's a really good one and a really important one to go over.
Yeah. I think the only really conversation we've had about it is I sent you the survey.
Yeah. And you said, here, look at this.
Me and my husband read over it and talked about it. And then you and your husband read over it and talked about it. And so now it takes me back to like when this first started and we were literally just having Zoom conversations like this.
Yeah,
so it's a little throwback. Okay. So today's episode is going to be on the state of theology. And so Lifeway Research and Ligonier Ministries, they every 2 years, they do a study on the theological beliefs of Americans about different areas. So it's usually God, sin, salvation, heaven and hell, the church, and the Bible. And so the results are super shocking. And so to set this up, before we get into like some of the things that they have found, I want to give you like kind of like a framework that they use. So they only surveyed people who would hold strongly to these four statements. And so I'm going to read those, but like, if you think about like any research you do or a quiz you take, they're like, I somewhat agree. I agree. I disagree. I strongly agree. So if they strongly agreed, they were pulled and put into this category. And here's the four statements. The Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. It's very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus as their savior. Jesus's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. And only those who trust in Jesus alone as their savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. And man, the results that we're about to go over really show that there is a huge misunderstanding about the nature and character of God. And some of them, I don't even think people would know are heretical. Like they are literally heresy.
Right.
And so as I'm reading this, I was like, I'm like, you know, I just need to send this to Kristen because I can't, I'm not just going to text you like, can you believe this? I'm like, you just have to read.
Yeah.
Have to just read this. And so we're going to have the actual research in our show notes. You can go read it for yourself because we're only going to hit, we're not going to hit on all of them. But I read every single one. We're not going to hit all of them.
It's a long one.
I pulled some out. Yeah. But it really does kind of show you just like the state of the evangelical world. And I have more to say about that word in a little bit, but the state of where things are. So Kristen, why don't you kick us off with like maybe some of the findings that was in this research.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I want to say before, and as we go through this to kind of keep in mind, I feel like some of this, especially as we get into some of the other ones, I feel like is a product of, I'm jumping ahead, I know, but is a
is
product
that what I said
of,
I was going to say with the word evangelical, is that what you're about to say or no?
No.
Okay.
Is a product of the theology or statements that you may say that you believe not impacting your everyday life. And that's always my fear when we talk about studying theology and we talk about being good students of the word, is that it doesn't make it out of your head and into and impact how you live. And I feel like this survey really drives that home. That there's a lot of people that will say they agree with this theological stance. I mean, those four things that they strongly agree, if they were asked, that the Bible is the highest authority for what they believe, that it is very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin, and only those who trust in Jesus alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. How those things that they believe don't make their make its way into how they live out. So I just want you to kind of think through that, because that's what kind of jumped out at me the most with some of these, not with all of them, but with some of these. One of the first findings that we thought was really intriguing is that 73% or almost 3 out of 4 people agree with the claim that Jesus is the first and greatest created, first and greatest being created by God. 73% of people agree that Jesus was a created being.
But he's he's God the Son. He's part of the Trinity. He was never created.
But he wasn't created. He like existed.
He's always existed. He's always existed. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's like just not understanding like where that disconnect would be.
Well, I mean, I think there is that verse in Colossians that says Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, right? And so maybe, but what that verse is meaning, if you are looking into it, is that he's exalted to the highest place, right? But Jesus is God, God the Son. He was never created.
And God is eternal. Like he doesn't have a beginning or an end.
Always been.
We'll start with that one.
We'll start with that one. Another one that was kind of interesting was more than half, so 58%, believe that God accepts the worship of all religions. So Christianity, Judaism, Islam, he accepts the worship of all of them. You want to say something? Like you're about to say something?
Yes, because I want to remind everyone that these people, that all the people that were polled were ones that said that they would strongly agree that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin.
But then 58% believe that
58% of those people that said that believe that God accepts the worship of all religions.
Yeah.
Wild, because there's a lot of religions that do not preach that.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, scripture says that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And those people would strongly agree with that. But then you get 58%. It was like God accepts all forms of worship.
Right. And then this, so this is where I was thinking, like, their theology doesn't impact their everyday life, because what they're doing is they're thinking of their friend who is of the Jewish faith or of the Islam faith or all these different faiths. And they're like, ah, I don't want to say that God doesn't accept their worship. So I'm going to say that he does. And that's where like what they believe, the theology that they would say that they hold to, is not impacting their everyday life.
This next one, which is really interesting because you can go back and look at the trends. And so this one, since COVID, has gone up a lot. It was much lower pre-COVID. More than half, so 56%, agree that worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. And then 46% disagree that every Christian has an obligation to join a local church. It was much different pre-COVID than now, when you have online churches and all of these things going on. But yeah, like, we were made for community, you know, we were made to gather together as a body of believers. And so that was interesting.
It's so important. I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday that is searching for a new church. And she was just saying how difficult it is, and how she's probably been searching for a new church probably for the last 3 months. And she's just like, it's really hard to not be a part of a church. Like, it just in her everyday life, she was like, to go from, you know, being in a body of believers to not, and trying to find that and trying to live this Christian life the way we were intended to live it, which was in community. Mm-hmm. And how much she's feeling the effects of just being out of it for 3 months. Still attending church. She's mm-hmm. still attending church. So it's not that she's not attending church. She's just hasn't found her church home yet. Mm-hmm. And hasn't been able to plug into anything. So yeah. It is, I think if everyone were honest with themselves, they would recognize that it is essential to be a part of a mm-hmm. local body.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to read the next one?
Yeah.
So, we even did an episode on this too.
We did. So, again, this is evangelical Christians. More than half, so 55% of them, believe that the Holy Spirit is a force, but is not a personal being. And I think there's plenty of scripture that would refute that. Plenty of scripture.
Yeah. I think the Holy Spirit in general is really confusing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the name spirit or ghost or whatever, but like, you know, scripture like prescribes like a pronoun. It's he, you know, like, and we believe like in the Trinity, like he is a personal being. It is three mm-hmm. persons in one God. And so, that one was shocking because that's a high number, 55%.
Yeah. It's a really high number.
Here's another one for you. 55% again, that seems to be a really popular one. 55% agree that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. Which is also the opposite of what multiple places in scripture say. that one, I was like, what? We're born? I'm trying to find, where is that on the actual, we also have the actual thing pulled up right now. Here it is. Yeah. Well, this one says 65% agree that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Ephesians, it says by nature, we're children of wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that just comes down to original sin. And, that one was really shocking to me as well. Let's see, here's another one. More than half disagree with the claim, because of course, I mean, this goes back to what you were saying. They disagree with the claim that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. I mean, when you're talking about a holy God,
mm-hmm.
like sin is sin, and any sin is eternal damnation, right?
Right. Well, and that's why, you know, this is something that I think it might be a both and, that they both do not hold a high enough view of God's holiness mm-hmm. and a grave enough view of sin. Right. That those two are not where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. And I think also it makes them really uncomfortable to think that, I mean, like, I think people think, you know, it's like, I don't do this, I'm still a good person, even believers will say that, like, mm-hmm. but I'm like, no, like your thoughts are bad, you know, like,
right.
It is, sometimes it may, we don't even want to consider that as a possibility. And so it's just easier to be like, oh, I don't agree with that, you know?
Right. But then again, I will still go back to, these are the people that said they strongly mm-hmm. agree that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
here's one. Let me see. The Bible, like all other sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths. That's not literally true. 53%. But Kristen, what did they strongly agree with at the beginning? That the Bible was the standard of how they live their lives, right?
Yeah.
The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but it's not literally true. Like, that broke my heart too. A lot of this breaks my heart, but I'm just like, I mean, if you don't think the Bible is like God's true word given to you, like his word giving to you, like no wonder all the rest of your beliefs are wonky, you know, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
It is, that one was insane to me. Hey, why don't you read the one about Jesus? Because this one also, I guess if you don't believe the Bible, you think it's just helpful, a helpful book, and that's it, not God's word. This one would also make sense, I guess.
So this one went up by 13% from 2 years ago. 13%. Wow. That 43% is what this says. 43% would agree with the statement that Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. It was 30% in 2020 when they did this, 43% in 2022.
And that is heresy.
That absolutely is.
Like, that is heresy. Like, Jesus, Jesus, a great teacher, God, a great teacher died for your sins. Like, I don't even have a rebuttal to that.
I know. Mike,
I don't.
The Bible is, again, very clear about it.
Oh, man. Also, go ahead and read the other one that was shocking to us.
Okay. Almost one third, so 29% of U.S. evangelicals agreed with the statement that God learns and adapts to different circumstances, while only 43% disagreed. So there's a big section in there that either don't know
mm-hmm.
or are kind of on the fence.
What I think was interesting was how, you know, it has two different findings, right? It has the U.S. adult finding, which said mm-hmm. 51% would agree that God learns and adapts to different circumstances. And then it has the U.S. evangelical findings, where it said 48% agree, 51% versus 48%. Like, that's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
So evangelicals, and like the population in general would agree that God changes. And, you know, we would say, like, no, God is omniscient. He knows all things. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He is unchanging. Like, that's his nature and his character. And, I wouldn't want to serve a God that just adapts to my circumstances.
Right.
Like, I want to serve a God who's in control of my circumstances, you know, like, man. There was another one. We don't really get on a whole lot of social topics, but there was a one that you pointed out, which was interesting to me, that has only gone up in the church. And that was gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
It says gender identity is a matter of choice. 42% of evangelicals would agree that you can choose your gender.
Yeah. And I mean, there are some, I know we kind of came in with the heavy ones. I mean, there are some that stayed, have been the highest that they have been. So under sexual ethics, that sex mm-hmm. outside of traditional marriage is a sin. It's at 94% of people will agree. That's the mm-hmm. highest it's been since they, I think they started doing this, and or at least that we have here, the trend since 2016. So 94% is the highest. So there are some encouraging things in here.
In the same, abortion is a sin.
Right.
91% would agree that abortion is a sin. I'm skipping ahead too, because I live in Texas, right? Like, it is very Republican, very conservative. And one thing that the church here that we are constantly combating is this idea of like moral Christianity,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is different than being like a true follower of Jesus. So I think the term, like evangelical, the term, I don't think really holds a huge theological connotation anymore. Like, right. I think it can tell a lot about someone's culture, their political convictions. You know, most Republicans would be like, I'm an evangelical person, but like, right. they don't go to church. They might go on for Christmas or Easter. They believe there's a God, but like, that's as far as that goes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I think if that's the case, like, the church has a lot of work to do,
yeah.
you know? And so, you know, Kristen, like, I know we're teasing up and we'll announce in a little bit what's coming up next episode, but like, how did we get here? You know, like, how did we get here? And then like, where do we go from here? 'Cause like, there's obviously a really big problem.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest ways that we got here was people not being students of the word.
Yeah.
Just being okay with showing up on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. listening to a sermon.
Yeah.
Putting a pithy statement away in the back of your head mm-hmm. and moving on with life and mm-hmm. not being in the word at all the rest of the week, not studying it, not letting the truths, because I'm not going to say that people will not, like, just going to church on Sunday morning, like, you're not getting good Bible teaching. So, but that teaching has to show up in your everyday life.
Well, if you're only going to church on Sunday morning, you're not getting discipleship.
Right.
And that's the whole point of all of this that, like, Jesus gave in the Great Commission, right? Like, why would he give the Great Commission if he wasn't serious about discipleship?
Right.
You know, I think, you know, as I was thinking through this, there has been, I don't see it as much anymore, but I'm not a part of fundamentalism anymore, but there has been such a scholar amateur divide in the church
mm-hmm.
where the pastors were the theologians. And I'm just going to get my devotional reading and I'm going to take whatever they tell me. And that's what it is, you know?
Right.
And like, you know, I'm not going to answer to God for my pastor's mind. Like, I'm going to answer to God for mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been a lot of work done in the church now that is closing that gap a lot, but it is this idea of, I'm going to just receive this because he told me this, because I'm not a theologian. I can't do this. It's intimidating right. for me, you know? So, I also think, you know, one thing as I was reading through this, one thing that caught my mind was My kids are 10 and 7, and I know for sure my 10-year-old would, like, she would know the answers to all, like, not all of them, probably, well, maybe all of them. If I was to ask her these questions, she'd be like, what? The Holy Spirit is not a force, you know? But a lot of that comes down to discipling our kids at home, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we catechize our kids. And so that was one thing I really wanted to talk about, was like, Christian families, we have a responsibility to catechize our children. And I think the church has failed to catechize the people. And so, you know, oftentimes, like, we're not going to feel adequate. There's been times where I'm like, oh, I'm responsible for my kids' discipleship. Oh boy. But go ahead.
Sorry. Can you define what catechize means? Because
I even,
it is, I know it, you got going and I was like, go girl. But also, like, the what only before, like, a few mm-hmm. years ago, the only catechism that I was familiar with was mm-hmm. the Catholic catechism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is something that the Catholic Church does pretty well at that mm-hmm. we don't. Right. Yeah. And I think in an effort of getting away from that, or trying to separate from that, we let catechism go by the wayside. And so
that's true. Okay.
Can you yes. define what catechism is?
I can. Okay. Yep. It's a system of instruction. So it typically relies on like a Q&A structure. And so it really helps you, kind of begin to dwell or like meditate on truths about something. So you can catechize really about anything, but mm-hmm. for Christians specifically, it's on God and his story. And so it's just like a teaching device that we use to really define like our Christian belief, right? Mm-hmm. And so we will actually I use the New City Catechism a lot because it's on an app and I have the book, but we can put these in our show notes. But like one of the questions I would ask my kids is like, what's our only hope in life and death? And they will say that we are not our own, but we belong body and soul to God, you know? And so it's just a question and answer way for them to have language around things like this. One thing I did with my kids when they were in kindergarten, two things that I did. So they learned Psalms 100 in kindergarten, both of them, because I just think it's such a beautiful passage about worship. And then we also learned the Apostles' Creed. And so, which when you're 5 and 6, you're like, what the heck mm-hmm. is this Apostles' Creed? But then as you get older, it's like, hey, what, like who, like, my kids know who Jesus is, but like, who is Jesus? And then they have language like, oh yeah, like this is who he is. And so I am like huge fans of catechisms. I'm huge fans of creeds. I think that especially if we're holding this idea of like family discipleship, it is our job to lay the groundwork for our children and mm-hmm. for what they're learning, you know. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here because I'm so passionate about it. And if our church was doing this to its people, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. There's a responsibility on the church to catechize its people and mm-hmm. to have them know these things. And then it's the parents' responsibility to mm-hmm. carry that out at home mm-hmm. and bring up their children with this knowledge and this basis. Like you said, it's not the church's sole responsibility to teach your child everything they need to know about God.
Yeah.
Because the church will only have them for a few hours a week. You have them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have my app out right now because I'm just going to talk about it for a second. For New City Catechism, there's quite a bit of different catechisms out there, and you do what makes you, what works for your family, but it's in three parts. And so part one is God, creation, the fall, and the law. Part two is Christ, redemption, and grace. And part three is the Spirit, restoration, and growing in grace. And so like question number two, I already gave question number one, but question number two is what is God? And my kids would just say, God's the creator of everyone and everything. Like it's really, really, really simple. How many persons are there in God? There's three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, it's not incredibly difficult. You can do three a night. You could do five a night, like whatever works for your family. But it's been a really great discipleship tool that I use. And, you know, honestly, having structure around it is a really good and a really helpful thing, you know, because we have structure with like literally everything that we do.
Right.
Like if you play the piano, you didn't just jump there and start banging the keys. Like you learned like your notes and the placement of the keys on the piano. And if you play a sport, you're going to learn the fundamentals before you get out there and like is the best person on your team, you know? So why would we treat discipleship or the Bible any differently? Like, I don't know, off my soapbox, Kristen, this sets us up for our next one. Do you want to talk about that? Well, we're looking at each other because I'm having to record in my bed and my foot's asleep.
It's actually really funny.
I can set it up. Just let me like move my foot for a second.
Well, the good news is there's work to do.
Yeah. The sad news is the state of the church.
Yes.
The good news is there's work to do.
And there's resources. There's ways to be able to do that work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things before you jump into and set that up, one of the things that I've had to remind myself, and I've had conversations with some dear friends of mine to remind them as well, is when we look at big picture things like this, the state of the church, the state of the evangelical church on theology, it's really, really easy to say, I need to come up with something to help change the entire evangelical church. And I think it's really, really important that we not lose sight of the impact that you have just on your local body or your family, and that it has to start there. Some of you may have a platform to be able to change the entire evangelical church. Highly doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't know who we have listening out there, but if so, great, do that. But don't discount that the work that you can do within your own family, within your own church, within your own community, because 100%. That's where your responsibility lies within your family. That's where you can change. That's where you can affect change, is
like generational change,
right? We're not going to affect change. I in Cincinnati, Ohio, am not going to affect change on the entire evangelical world, but I can affect change on my community and on who I'm interacting with day in and day out and on my local church. So that's why we say there is good. The good news is that there's work to do, because we can start with it on a small level.
So our interview that we have coming up is with my friend, JT English. He's a pastor in Colorado, and he wrote a book. Man, every pastor needs to have this. Every church leader needs to have this, called Deep Discipleship. And then he and Jen Wilkin wrote a book together called You Are a Theologian. And they complement each other so well. I know on our next episode, I will probably talk about this, because I am a product of JT's heart for discipleship in the church. Literally, my relationship with the Lord, and like, I hate the term my life changed, but it really did. And I think the way I parent, the way like I disciple others, all of that is an overflow out of JT's heart for discipleship in the church. And so we're going to talk to him about, hey, he believes that every single person is a theologian. Okay. But what does that mean if you're intimidated by theology? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what can the church do better? And like, what is deep discipleship? And I'm like so excited about it. And I actually, we have two copies of You Are a Theologian, that Jen so graciously gave to us to give out to our listeners. So we will do that after our interview with JT. Yeah. But that's what's coming up. And it's going to be such a great follow-up to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of the answers to all of this is going to be in that next episode. So
in that discussion.
You got to stay tuned. That's coming up.
Stay tuned.
Cool. Yeah. So, hey, in our show notes, we will list the research and different catechisms that I know of that are helpful that we can put in there. But yeah, it's a great conversation. I'm glad we talked about this.
I'm glad we talked about this. It was really good. Really, really good. And it's, like I said, like you started off with, it was heavy. It's sad to look at, but it's like, you can't tackle a problem that you don't know is there. So this gives us an idea of what the problem is and just how bad it's gotten. And we can start hopefully attacking the problem within our own communities and within our own families and local churches. So
who God has put in front of you.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, friend, until next time.
Bye.
I wish they could see your peace sign.
No one
every time.
And I do it every single time.
'Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.